hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is William White Crow, and welcome to another session of Sovereign Minds Radio. I would like you to call in after our first break, and that number is 605-4567, area code 5530. And tonight we have a very interesting show with you. We have a couple experts here, as far as I'm concerned, and they know what's going on. One is Dane Wigington, and the other is Michael Murphy. But before we go any further here, I want to touch on some news flashes here, our news threads. Russian methane problem here. Ladies and gentlemen, the ice in Russia is melting up in Siberia, and they're finding out that large, large amounts of methane is being released there. I actually seen the video, and what they did, they took up, found a hole, chopped a small hole in the ice, and lit it with a match. It burned blue. Unbelievable what's going on with our climate change. North Korea attacked South Korea, as you know. Now, that's very interesting because off the West Coast and East Coast, we had two missiles fired. Many people believe that they were Chinese submarines, and then not long, a week after that, bam, North Korea attacks an island of South Korea.
Right, South Korea and U.S. is doing some military operations right there.
Yeah, they have a separate fleet.
And North Korea is kind of mad about it.
So. Oh, they're mad. Not only that, China said if we get involved and we attack, they could be retaliatory from them also. Now, we also want to talk about the TSA scanning. If you have your children, your wife, and everything going through scanning, I have seen the videos. This is a little outrageous here. Do you want them touching and doing the whole routine that they're doing out there now? There, ladies and gentlemen, the more the government turns around and tells you that they're going to turn around and protect you, each time they tell you that, they take away another freedom. I've seen it. We're tired of it. So fly another airline. That's basically what I have to say. And the feds also, from the Federal Reserve, also say right now that the economy will not get any better all the way up until 2012. Does that surprise you? It really doesn't me, because it seems that somebody's trying to knock the dollar out. So with that said, I'm going to turn around and let Nate here introduce our two gentlemen that are experts in this field. They've done documentaries on December 3rd at Sequoia Middle School. We have What the Heck Are They Spraying Anyway? Is that correct?
Well, it's actually called What in the World?
What in the World?
Are they spraying? But very close.
There you go. Okay, so I'm going to let Nate take over right now, and let's get going.
We have the director, Michael Murphy, and Dane Wigington. And you go ahead and tell us, what made you want to start doing this?
Well, What in the World Are They Spraying is an investigative documentary about the issue of geoengineering, also called the chemtrail issue. Mm-hmm. And what made me interested in this was an awareness to this issue. And a number of years ago, somebody had told me that airplanes were spraying artificial clouds into the sky. And like most people, I thought that they were completely crazy.
I did.
As most of us did. Right. But it wasn't until a couple years later when somebody had actually pointed it out. And I began to notice airplanes in the sky emitting a very long trail behind them, and those trails actually spread out and created an artificial cloud. So I began investigating what was up in the air and became deeply concerned. And there's actually a science which is related to aerosol spraying, and that's called the science of geoengineering. So we began to investigate that from a scientific standpoint, and what we found was deeply concerning, because we found that these programs were in fact very real and a threat to both ecology and human health. So the documentary has been very effective in terms of waking people up, and for the first time in a long time, we are finally starting to get the attention from the scientific community in support of this. So it's a very interesting documentary, and it's actually been released for right around a month. It's been very effective. It's had over a million views on the internet, and it's gone around the world. It's been translated into several different languages, I think about five different languages. So we can get into more of the specific issues, the ecological implications, mm-hmm. and the health implications. But to answer your question, what made me do the film was my deep concern for the issue.
That's Dane.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and Dane. So what got you to start?
I have a background in solar power. I work for Bechtel Power Company, which is a four-letter word now. But on the first solar plants in the continental U.S., I have a large off-grid home. And again, that being my background, when I began to lose 30, 40, 50% of my solar uptake on given days from these grid patterns that were being laid out over the entire valley, it was clear something was going on above, some sort of experimentation. I'd heard about the, quote, chemtrail issue. As Mr. Murphy stated, he had too, but I didn't give it any credence. But when I began to see the extent to which the entire sky was being covered artificially, I did investigate the issue. I came across the geoengineering term, patents, that described exactly what I was seeing in the sky above me as an express goal. And after seeing similar ingredients on numerous patents, material being aluminum oxide, I began to do lab tests in the rain and from the dust settling on my solar panels, and the amount of aluminum was completely off the charts. And as I researched deeper, it was clear that these programs were fully deployed, although no one in any mainstream scientific publication has admitted to date that they are deployed. It's the elephant in the room, if you will. But again, in Shasta County alone, I've had to expand wind turbine power and hydro to make up for lost solar power. That's how often the sky is solar uptake is obscured.
Wow.
With these trails. And again, that is the express goal of these programs: stratospheric aerosol geoengineering. That's what the patents state.
Google it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And in a nutshell, people they want some sort of tangible verification, but there are certain things we can say with no ambiguity. Numerous patents describe exactly what we see in the sky: solar obscuration. The ingredients on the ground are exactly what those patents describe, and the first excuse people think as a source for where this material is coming from is China. California Air Quality Resources Board has studied the aerosols from China. Heavy metals are not amongst them. So this is a recent phenomenon. We've had rain tests in the last 5 years in Shasta County that have shown spikes in aluminum from an original baseline test, which was already high of 7 parts per billion, spiking as much as 50,000% in 5 years, up to 3,450 parts per billion, literally toxic rain. So there's a mountain of metal raining down on us. It's toxifying everything. It's coming from somewhere, and it's not coming from China.
Yeah, this is not natural.
Well, this is not natural. I think it's important to go back to geoengineering. And again, yeah. Geoengineering is the artificial modification of the Earth's climate systems. And in San Diego, back in February, at the American Association for the Advancement of Science meeting, geoengineers laid out their goals and their models for as Dane said, stratospheric aerosol geoengineering programs.
If you Google David Keith, you can find all kinds of lectures by him that will talk about it.
Yeah. Correct. So, and David Keith is considered to be the number three geoengineer in the world.
Yeah.
So for 3 days, we listened to geoengineers propose their models of spraying 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum.
And this is where you got involved.
Into the sky. This is exactly where I got involved. So they were talking openly about this, and we're listening to these guys talking about some of the benefits and the risk. And one of the benefits that they said was cooling the planet. Some of the risks were droughts in Africa and Asia, ozone depletion, some real serious things. And we're actually seeing these things.
Yes, we are.
Okay? But the real story that came out of that meeting was the models of the use of aluminum. Because for the first time, geoengineers had stated that aluminum has 4 times the reflectivity.
Definitely.
And it stays in the sky longer. So it would be a more effective metal to use. And what was unknown to most people around the world, of course, we're finding, as Dane said, mass contamination.
Yes.
Of aluminum. This was the first time that geoengineers actually spoke publicly about the use of these metals. Now, when we asked them about the current deployment or the plausibility of these programs having been done before, they blatantly denied it, stating that what we have been seeing in the sky are simply natural contrails. And, of course, a contrail is short for condensation trail. It's normal water vapor. Mm-hmm. It's been around since airplanes have been flying. However, a condensation trail usually dissipates in about 4 to 5 seconds.
4 to 5, yeah.
Some linger a little bit longer, but what we're seeing, as Dane had stated, matches geoengineers' plans exactly. It matches patents, and I'm going to mention the Welsbach patent, which specifically mentions aluminum oxide, and it matches what we're finding in massive amounts in the rain and snow, and of course no aluminum should be in the rain and snow. But I want to bring this up as well, some of the risks that they had stated for doing these programs is exactly what we're seeing around the globe. So it's deeply concerning to a number of people. However, this issue, finally, as I stated, has been getting the attention of the scientific community, and people are waking up everywhere because of this. Yeah,
We watched one of the documentary not too long, over the last week, you know, up in my neighborhood and everything. These people are just blown away by the information you two have brought out. I mean, when they seen the documentary, which is going to be on December 3rd at Sequoia Middle School, you know, they just couldn't believe it. And these are teenagers and parents sitting there for the first time being woken up. So.
Right, there's never been anything like this explaining the information. There's always been, well, there's been chemtrails, and you could look up and you see the chemtrails, but there's never been anybody like you guys that has actually laid out all the politicians, all the paperwork, you can see the patents.
Exactly, and for a long time, the corporate mainstream media has done a very effective job at calling people who question geoengineering as being conspiracy theorists. This is not theory. I mean, we prove conclusively that these programs are real. We cover geoengineers talking about this, and of course, there have been many congressional hearings on the issue of geoengineering.
Right. Yeah.
So we actually, at the end of the film, went to Washington, D.C., and confronted many of the politicians. But
that was fantastic.
Yeah, it was very effective in the film, and of course, you know, we do have politicians speaking publicly about this issue. So again, it's not conspiracy theory, it's conspiracy fact, but let me explain this. We know that these programs are real, they're multi-billion, if not trillion-dollar operations, and they're illegal.
Definitely.
So for the corporate mainstream media to come out and admit that they're doing this would really be damaging to their advertising and many other things. So again, there has been a tremendous amount of political pressure due to the political and monetary agendas associated with these programs. So to think that there would not be a cover-up is ridiculous. However, now the truth is coming out, and I want to thank Dane personally, who has brought a lot of light and a lot of credibility to this issue from the scientific end, because he's done quite a few tests.
Oh, he's great.
Well, to return the compliment, but with nothing we did had the gravity of the visual film that Michael has put together. Without that tool, this issue would not have gained the traction it has gained. And as Michael said, to disclose this issue, mainstream media would be alienating their biggest sponsors, i.e. Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, Boeing, all of which are up to their eyeballs in weather modification patents. So it's a money connect the dots. Who's paying for what? It makes it quite clear why we haven't heard a word about this. And people also question that with all the air monitoring in California, if this was really going on, we would certainly know, right? Wrong. I've been in high-level EPA meetings in Sacramento with five of the top emissions people who told I and two others to our face that when they take a particulate sample, they are told to test for certain elements that are combustion elements only.
Wow.
The rest of the sample goes straight out the window, no matter what's in it. So the system is literally designed not to show anything other than what they're told to look for, which is the usual combustion particulates, and nothing else matters. It doesn't matter how toxic or what it is, nothing else matters. So the system is designed not to show any of this aerosol contamination.
Well, Dane, this goes right back to a survey. You can slant a survey in any way you want. So if they get these tests and they're going to the same lab and they're asking there only certain things be shown on these tests, they're definitely trying to hide something from somebody.
No question.
Yeah.
And so much so that I also, a year and a half ago, spoke in front of the California Energy Commission, also in Sacramento, because the Energy Commission was aware that they were losing 20% or more of the state's rainfall from particulates of unknown origin. So that was a very big red flag as well.
Okay. This is really interesting. We want you people out there that are listening right now. You know, this is Sovereign Minds Radio, and our crew is really into what's going on here. So if you want to call in, like I said, 530-605-4567. And we'll be right back.
called the divine. The question we call upon women, we call upon children, we call upon the handicapped, the infirm, the weak of heart. We need your courage, your dedication, your passion, your conviction.
The hunt to quench your thirst is on. Echolo Blue is a revolutionary.
Rise together, rise together, we 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 rise together.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen out there. This is Sovereign Minds Radio. And we have Dane Wigington and Michael Murphy out here, and they're really hitting on some really important stuff here. The call-in number is 605-4567, and you can stream link us on out there. This is home of Free Fire Media, of course. And we're going to touch on the ecological values and problems that are going out there with this situation right now. What do you have to say about that, Murphy?
Well, it was interesting because after we went to the geoengineering conference, and again, I want to reiterate, there are proposals of spraying 10 to 20 million tons of aluminum. I actually went back into Los Angeles, and somebody, Dane Wigington, actually said, "Hey, Mike, would you mind writing an article about this issue?" So I said, "You know what? Yeah, I think so. I think it deserves some credence." So I wrote an article about what the plans and proposals were. You know, and again, 10 to 20 tons of toxic aluminum is toxic to the ecosystem. Anyways, I had written an article, and at night I put my email and my phone number attached to it, and I sent it to an online publication, not thinking it would get much attention. However, when I woke up the next morning, my telephone was ringing off the hook, and my inbox was flooded, and the reason was we broke the story on the use of aluminum, and aluminum is being found, as we had stated, in thousands of times the normal amounts and rain and snow samples. As a result, people started contacting me and asking me to come investigate. And one of my first stops was up here in the Redding area. And it was actually, we interviewed with Francis Mangles, who is a retired biologist, who spoke about some ecological implications and profound changes that were happening. And, of course, Dane. And I want to pass this over to Dane and let him explain to what's been happening on his property. As a filmmaker, Dane has beautiful property up here. I left brokenhearted because I saw the devastation that is occurring up here in this area.
Well, we got somebody on line one named Greg right now. Greg, can you come on through?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Real good.
And what's your question?
Oh, this is Greg Tomczyk with Advanced Power, and I'm in the solar business too, and familiar with the devastating effects it has on our production. But my question is more direct as to who decides when and where the chemtrails are deployed. You know, because we had a big break during the Gulf oil spill. We had a couple months here with beautiful skies. And then also, is it profit-driven, or is it really, is somebody really trying to have a positive effect on global warming, you know, whether that's real or imagined?
Thanks for calling, Greg, and that's a very, very good question. And it would be impossible to answer with any certainty, but what we do know, based on what the geoengineers stated and all their modeling showed at the national conference, there are certain conditions that are more conducive to the application of these programs, such as when the low pressure systems circulate in, as we're starting to get now in this region, they spray heavily in front of those systems. That's where a lot of moisture is contained. Mm-hmm. It siphons that moisture off, so the rain comes late and comes less than predicted. We've seen that consistently in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
So they siphon off a lot of that rain. If you watch satellites, it then broadcasts an artificial, largely rainless cloud over multiple states to the west of us. It appears the west coast is more or less used for a swamp cooler. Those conditions don't exist in the summer, so it's not so conducive for spraying here. And we do get reports of a lot of spraying in the Atlantic Basin in the summer. And there are multiple hurricane suppression patents, numerous patents, and one has to scratch their head and wonder why, since the end of 05, when the military reinstituted its hurricane suppression programs, we haven't seen anything since. So we seem to get a big break here in the summer. You know, again, this is all speculation. Can't know some of these dots for sure, but there seems to be increased report of a lot of aerial activity in the Atlantic basin during the hurricane season. We seem to get a break here. When that dies down, they're back on top of us here. So one would assume there's only so much resources and there's only so many areas they can hit. Those dots do seem to connect.
Oh, very interesting you say that, because I noticed that this year. Nate and I were talking about that. And Chandler, too, we're sitting here talking about in the springtime, boom, they sprayed. Summertime, we didn't get that much. Towards the fall, we got hit again. Asthma incidences went up way crazy. We have another gentleman, Wally, on line two.
Go ahead.
Yeah, what's up?
We're just waiting for what question do you have, Wally?
Hey, dude. Are they doing anything about this at all? I know that they went to Sacramento and stuff like that. What's the position of the government?
As far as... when you say, are they doing anything about it, or
specify.
After you going to the government and pointing this out, are they going to do anything?
Oh, they're, you know, I've been in Barbara Boxer's office. I've been in high-level EPA meetings. I've been in front of the Energy Commission. I've been in front of the Air Quality Board. I mean, this issue is avoided like the plague by all governmental agencies. They won't give you the time of day. I've been in EPA. Again, they didn't care if there was radioactive plutonium in the rain. They didn't give a damn about any of that. The system is designed not to show this, and the only thing that will make the system respond is a whole lot of public awareness and a hell of a lot of public pressure, because we are all being sprayed like lab rats, period. And people don't think this stuff can go on, but it absolutely is. And when you have, again, these geoengineers pushing and touting these programs that they urgently say have to be deployed yesterday as if they're not already, and they've not done a single study on the effect of human health, environmental toxicity, and so forth. Clearly, the last thing that anybody in the government is going to do, it appears, is to help expose these programs. That's up to us.
But I do want to bring this back to 2001, and I want to mention Congressman Dennis Kucinich, who in his Space Preservation Act, which essentially was a bill banning space weapons, he specifically mentioned the word and called for the banning of chemtrails. Before the bill went for vote, the word chemtrails was actually removed. Now, I do know that he had some family loss of family members during that year. Don't know if it's related. Purely speculation. However, you know, I think it does indicate that any public official that's willing to address this on a public basis, which we have had many before or after office, openly admit that in what in the world are they spraying? We interviewed a senator from Arizona, Senator Johnson, who is very open about this. But what it appears, because again, they're multi-billion, if not trillion-dollar operations, they're black operations, and they're illegal.
Yes.
So if they are proposed, which they have been, it's been removed from the bill. So it appears that there is an enormous amount of pressure because of what these programs are. And again, they're very damaging to ecology and also to human health. People
human
are being
health,
affected by
going,
this.
Yeah.
And the physicians, and I know that we're going to be talking about this, that we spoke to, said these metals are very toxic to human health. So to address this would be taboo if you're in office.
Yeah, and, you know, we've seen too much of that happen out there. Every time, that was fantastic. Every time a politician gets involved, something happens and they back off. I've noticed that, especially with subjects pertaining like this or the vaccines or anything.
That's right, and I want to take this a step further, because these are illegal programs and they are a violation our human rights. We cannot depend on politicians, we cannot depend on governments, we cannot depend on agencies. It is very important that we depend on ourselves, and we have to address this, and we have to take this into our own hands. And I think in America here, we've been conditioned to depend on certain groups and other people to address things. This bottom line is this: these programs affect each and every one of us in a very negative way, and it's up to each and every one of us to address this.
And to answer one more point, to answer what our government is doing at this point in time, you had a treaty signed 3 weeks ago in Nagoya, Japan, 193 nation UN delegation calling for an immediate moratorium on all geoengineering. The U.S. and Britain flipped the middle finger. So that shows where our country's at with this. They absolutely will sign nothing or acknowledge no commitment to stopping what certainly is going on. So, I mean, that's a very big red flag. 193 nation delegation signing a call for an immediate moratorium on all global geoengineering. The U.S. and Britain said no way.
Well, I listened to a thing that they were talking about in Parliament, and they were making a big game out of this, you know, laughing and joking. Ladies and gentlemen out there, this is your future. You know, this is I'm a grandfather, I'm a father, I'm a husband. You got children out there, grandchildren. This is something serious to be worried about and something to research. Like we say on this radio show, don't believe what we say. Do your own research. You're going to find out that these two gentlemen right here are hitting the nail on the head and in a big way.
Yeah, it's all about follow the money for sure. And, and it's not just happening in America. While you will be able to see it in every state, but it's happening on the global wide area. So... we got to be careful.
Mostly NATO countries is what we're seeing is happening, really, from the research I've done. But you were talking about, Mr. Murphy here, about the medical aspect of this.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. During the course of What in the World Are They Spraying, we did interview a number of healthcare professionals and physicians and a metals expert who is actually a dentist. And what we did find out, of course, which we knew, aluminum is very toxic to human health. And I want to go back to several studies. Aluminum is believed to be linked to Alzheimer's. In L.A. County alone, within a 10-year period, we saw over a 200% increase in Alzheimer's alone. And around the world, we have seen an increase in aluminum-related diseases.
Amazing.
But let's talk about some of the other things that we've been finding. We've been finding barium and strontium. We know that barium reduces our immune system, especially if we inhale it every day, and barium increases high blood pressure. The emergency room physicians who we spoke to, and any emergency room physician who is aware of the aerosol spraying, will tell you, during heavy spray days, emergency rooms are packed with people complaining of irritability, burning eyes, upset stomach, headache, flu-like symptoms, but then some deeper symptoms because it does cause high blood pressure, strokes, and heart attacks are on the rise. And again, these metals do compromise our immune system. Strontium, which again is being found as well, is a carcinogen.
Definitely.
What have we seen since the inception of these programs in the past 10 to 15 years? An incredible increase in cancers. And these metals have an accumulative effect. Mm-hmm. So they will together compromise the immune system. And again, we've seen an incredible increase in illness since this disease. I want to also bring up one more point, respiratory mortality.
Yes.
In the past 5 years has gone from number 8 to number 3 on the list of mortality. Of course, during that time, we have seen a dramatic increase in the aerosol spraying or the aerial emittance from, from these airplanes. So bottom line is this. This is compromising human health. People are being affected by these programs, and we're deeply concerned about it.
Oh, definitely.
And a point people should keep in mind, that just because you don't see a grid pattern above your head doesn't mean there isn't aerosols in the air. People should wonder, where has the blue sky gone? And when you see clouds that look more like cobwebs or more like smoke, they look like smoke because smoke is a particulate. The aerosol disbursements are a particulate. So it's, again, not just a grid pattern or X's or long parallel lines. If you see wispy, cobwebby-looking, very undefined upper-level haze that blots the blue sky into some sort of a dirty white mess, you know, that is indicative of aerosol disbursement, and that is one of the primary negatives freely admitted to by the geoengineers, that we will have no more blue sky.
True.
So again, just because, or even if there's natural cloud cover over, doesn't mean they're not on top of it dispersing as well. So again, the proof is in the precipitation tests and the amount of metal in that rain that absolutely, positively should not be there, and it is. And there's been virtually no aluminum-free test in about 60 tests in Shasta County alone at the state-certified lab. So, I mean, this metal's there. That is not speculation. It matches the patents exactly. That's not speculation. The patents match exactly what we see in the skies in Express Gold. That's not speculation. So there's hard ground to stand on here.
You have John Holdren talking about it. You have all these politicians, you know, that some talk about it. These geoengineers also will talk about it. So it's not hidden. It's just you have to go find it.
No, it isn't.
You have to go find it. And, you know, I want to elaborate a little bit about what Dane said. We spent a week in on Maui, mm-hmm. filming in Hawaii. And, of course,
that was amazing. It
was an amazing part of the film, and there was no aircraft that were visible, but we did see the aerosols in the sky. So I did a lot of public speaking as well when I was on the island, and I was telling the locals about it, many of which did not believe it, and we said the proof literally is in the test. So we encouraged the locals there to do rain and snow tests. Of course, they are seeing a dramatic effect and profound changes yeah. within the ecology and what they're able to grow on the island now in terms of the organic food. But I want to get back to the rain and the rain tests mm-hmm. that they did. The rain tests yielded, again, extremely high levels of aluminum, barium, and strontium, and I want to encourage people to test for those if there's any question.
Okay. We have Brenda on line one. And go ahead, Brenda.
Good evening. I'm going to play a little bit of a devil's advocate here and take a little different angle.
Okay.
More from the scientific, rigorous study point of view. First of all, I got a question for your guests. Do you folks believe that all of the condensation trails that we see are all chemtrails, that there's no other scientifically rational cause for those that we see?
Well, I can answer that, and no, I don't. You know, I don't believe that everything that we see in the sky is an aerosol trail. We know that there are contrails, which have been around since airplanes have been flying,
yeah.
and we also know that there is a thing called a persistent contrail, and a persistent contrail is a contrail that will last a little bit longer,
mm-hmm.
but it requires very specific conditions. One is high humidity and very cold temperatures, something that's very rare. So what we see, yes, of course, there are persistent in contrails up in the sky. However, those do not precipitate out the high amounts of aluminum, barium, and strontium and other metals that we're seeing. So to answer your question, I mean, that's a great question because many people say, well, perhaps you're confusing these with contrails. And I think it's a valid question. But no, we definitely know that we have a huge amount of metal particulate falling out of the sky. There is a correlation when we see the thick aerosol spray, what we believe is the aerosol spray. When those trails are not there, the numbers dramatically come down. And these metals were not there before these long lingering trails were here on a regular basis. Dane?
To back up further what Mike's saying, if one takes time to observe, at the same time an aircraft can be seen leaving a trail from horizon to horizon. Aircraft can be seen at the same approximate altitude, leaving nothing. The days we get the big grid patterns, you also have east-west traffic, east-west lines. We do not have east-west commercial traffic over this valley, period. You have the same days where you might have a full grid pattern overhead, which blocks 40-50% of solar uptake on a PV panel. If you go out 10, 12 o'clock at night, when the humidity's higher and the temperatures are lower, aircraft can be seen passing overhead, leaving virtually nothing. If it was anything natural, you would see even more. And again, the amount of footage, Brenda, on YouTube of actual on-off disbursements of spray is quite clear. And again, we have very hard data that this metal was not there before. The skies were not covered before. I can say from my solar panel uptake in the last 10 years, it has plunged. And so something very different is going on. And the amount of air traffic in the air on a given day when our skies are covered with this is about, it can be 10 times the traffic on a day when there are no lines being made. I mean, there's literally 10 times the aircraft in the air. So there's...
Okay, going back to scientific method, has anybody bothered to find out where those aircraft originate from and where they're going? That would be hard data you could get a hold of. As for your solar panels, they age, they get less efficient. So there is a possibility, in my mind, that some of the degradation of power that you're getting from your solar panel, especially if it's a 10-year-old solar panel, is that you're seeing natural aging of the efficacy of the solar panel.
You know,
where's the controls for the metal data? So,
okay.
You know, asking all these questions is...
Can I answer a few? Wait a minute.
I'm sure you have an answer for all of them, and that's okay. I'm not here to try to change anybody's mind. But what I want the listeners to consider is that there are definitely two sides to any story.
Right.
And you've got to get hard data. You've got to have everything other than they,
okay.
innuendo. This is all toxic. Aluminum studies have been done in health from what I've read, Alzheimer's and aluminum, there is no good correlation.
Okay,
that's old data.
Okay, can I answer some questions? One, solar is my background. I have pallets of brand new solar panels, brand new, state-of-the-art solar panels. They're not aged panels, and a panel doesn't degrade one day and come back to life the next day. I have brand new panels taking this test. Two, the metal wasn't there 5 years ago. It's there today. It's not coming from China, so I would ask, where is it coming from? If all these are naturally occurring trails and they're blocking 70 or 80% of my solar power, then I would ask, why do they need geoengineering?
But how do we know the metals weren't there before? Nobody was looking for them.
We have baseline studies that go back that showed an increase in some cases in the last 5 years of up to 50,000%. We also have much more extensive USDA full soil pH studies. This is a much more solid piece of ground for Shasta and Siskiyou counties, showing exact pHs of the entire county. I've been with USDA soil scientists in the field checking soil pH that has changed to a magnitude of 10 to 12 times in 5 years that U.S. Forest Service biologists believe can only have come from the contamination of the rainfall, which has also changed in pH up to 12 times in a given storm, depending on how much spraying we see. pHs go from 5.5, 5.6, which is normal because of the carbon in the atmosphere, can rocket as high as 6.6, 6.8. That's a change of 10 to 12 times. Aluminum oxide raises pH. Those same rain samples are packed full of aluminum. Again, it's not coming from China. So where is it coming from? And all these dots match perfectly. So, I think we do have an answer for every question you have there. And
who's paying for it?
You are. You are as a taxpayer.
Why do we have massive sickness everywhere?
We are.
That is only explainable by chemtrails.
Well, you know, it simply is not. But we do know that these metals will compromise an immune system. So to say it's only explained by the chemtrail issue, that's not what we're claiming. But what we are claiming, in the physicians that we spoke to said that these will compromise our immune system. So we do know that. And if you have perhaps poor lungs or perhaps a poor kidney, this is going to attack you. And we know that asthma and respiratory mortality is being affected by it. Are these programs affecting human health? You bet you they are. We can say that conclusively. Are these metals in the air? We can say conclusively yes.
Okay. Has anybody traced the metal that's in the air, actually found that isotope, that exact thing in all of these people?
Well, you know what? That's a great point, because have you had a chance to see what in the world are they spraying?
No, I have not seen it.
Oh, okay.
It.
I encourage you to watch that, because we cover a lot of the questions that you're asking. But yes, as a matter of fact, we know many people who have gotten hair follicle tests that, again, reveal high amounts of these metals.
I'm going to have to break now. We've got to go to break. This is William Whitecrow. Please, ma'am, stay on the line. We're really interested in what you have to say. This is William Whitecrow for Sovereign Minds Radio, home of Free Fire Media at KCNR 1460 AM. If you want to call in at 605-4567.
Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, cause none of them can stop the time.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, this is William Michael back. We're here with Free Fire Radio, and Dane Wigginton here would like to continue answering the questions that Brenda had here.
Well, Brenda, again, I want to relate to, you're not wanting to, or, you know, it's a natural desire, at least it was for me, not to want to believe this could even be remotely possible.
Oh, no, I'm not in denial.
I don't think you are. I just want to...
I'm looking at it from a scientific point of view. I'm very skeptical.
I understand, as was I for about 2 years, but every test I opened, they got worse and worse and worse, and every dot that connected, and I spent my own time, my own money with the press pass to go to the national conference to hear it from their own mouth, the geoengineers, to make sure that this was exactly what it seemed to be, and to have these guys stand in the front of the room and talk so cavalierly about dumping 20 million tons of ultrafine aluminum nanoparticles into the atmosphere, and when pinned down, and you can see this on Michael Murphy's documentary, you can see them answer this question with their own mouth, that had there been any studies done for such a deployment, and the answer when pinned down was no, nothing, because they don't feel they have to. And again, the soil pH changes and the tests that have been done from every aspect of this just continues to verify it's exactly what it appears to be. And again, if anybody wants to research this, and that's all we hope to accomplish here tonight, it's not to convince you from what we say, but to get you to investigate on your own. A site that you can do that on, geoengineeringwatch.org. Geoengineeringwatch.org has news bulletins posted daily from around the globe, increasing data on this every day that passes. That's an excellent site. And again, there'll be a long Q&A with medical practitioner, U.S. Forest Service biologist, and other experts this Friday at the Sequoia School. They'll be there, and the Q&A can last as long as anybody wants to stay and ask questions.
Okay, so. I know that's probably as slanted a source as anyone who would say the exact opposite. So how about a website who are naysayers and say, oh, there's no concerns, there's no problems, here's the counterbalancing data. That's what I mean by scientific thought.
Well, you know, this comes down to like Agent Orange, which we were told for how many years didn't exist.
Which
can't
I
argue that point.
With.
You know, and I mean,
there has to be another website somewhere where somebody says, "Don't worry about it."
The Discovery
Not
Channel.
Not unlike global warming, where there's the advocates that say yay, 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 and there's those who say nay, nay, nay.
But how much money do you think is behind those that would say nay, nay, nay? You're talking about the most powerful.
Oh, probably not very much, because
really?
They're not politically correct.
Oh,
and they're
wait
not
a
the
minute.
Ones.
Brenda, that's,
that
I don't
are,
think that's
are advertising what the media tells you.
Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon. I mean, we're talking about some of the most powerful
yes.
people on the planet Earth. So, I mean, I can't imagine. And if you look at the patents, that's who's on it. And if you look at the programs, the aircraft that are being purchased, we had 400 tankers for the U.S. Air Force in the year 2000. Now we have 1,600 tankers. Now they're going for 400 more. Why do we need a 500% increase in tankers, and correlating the spray has increased at an equal rate? I mean, there's so many dots that connect on this issue. And
what are they hoping to accomplish with this aerosol spraying or whatever? What's the ultimate goal?
I can tell you this. The patents state clearly, like a primary patent called Wells Stratospheric Aerosol Spraying for Reduction of Global Warming, Wells Box Seeding for Reduction of Global Warming, and the stated goal is to fill the atmosphere with reflective particulates to slow the rate of global warming. And people who don't think the atmosphere can be tipped are wrong. Mount Pinatubo in 1992,
oh, of course.
A very minuscule eruption, cool global temperatures, 1 degree Fahrenheit. The atmosphere can be...
I wouldn't call Pinatubo minuscule.
In comparison
yes.
to Krakatoa,
well,
it was.
Well, yes, but that's
so
an extreme case.
It is, but bottom line is most people don't understand. Most people don't even know what Pinatubo was, so I say minuscule because most of the world never knew it even happened. So geologically, yes, it was a significant eruption, but not for global populations who never even heard about it. So I can tell you the patents are stated for many things, and if you look this up, you'll find a list of 100 or more patents that describe exactly what we're seeing with the same ingredients.
But if global warming is such a disaster and you have an opportunity to introduce stratospheric aerosols to cool the planet down, wouldn't that be a good thing and maybe worth paying the little bit of price in some people's minds?
Well, if the price is total toxification of everything that lives and breathes on the planet Earth, total toxification of soils, waters, a complete decimation of the ozone layer, which is a very openly stated consequence, even by the proponents of geoengineering, that the ozone layer will be shredded. And incidentally, the ozone scale in the last 10 years has been changed from 1 to 10 to 1 to 15. Why is that? So, I mean, again, these people would cut our nose off to spite our face if there's money to be made. No, this cure is far, far worse than the disease. And whatever a person's perspective is on climate change, geoengineering is the final nails in the coffin, period. If one looks at the total fallout and the total decimation, it cannot be seen as a cure in any light.
And Brenda, that's assuming that these programs are only to block the sun. However, there's much talk that these could be related to having military applications related to weather modification. Why would a military want to modify the weather? Well, that would have tremendous power for a certain military. So we believe that it's in part, you know, those types of agendas. So I don't want to get too in-depth to that unless you want to talk about it more. I do want to thank you for calling, and I also want to thank you for being skeptical.
Definitely.
Because
yeah.
in order to get to the truth, we do need to ask these questions. I do, in closing with you, I do want to ask this question to you. Does it concern you that geoengineers desperately want and are proposing spraying 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum into the sky above where you live? Is that a concern for you?
At the moment, I don't know. Because I don't know if it's true. I don't know what the end results are. I don't have enough data to form a conclusion.
Excellent. Then I really want to encourage you to watch my documentary, What in the World Are They Spraying? You can Google it. You can find the full version on the Internet. Please watch it or come out with us on Friday. At the auditorium here in school.
Sequoia Middle School.
Sequoia Middle School. And we can answer a lot of questions that you have. And again, I just want to thank you again for asking these questions, because you're curious and you're asking a lot of questions that many other people have.
But I
think it's important.
I'm sorry, Michael. I want to get off with the final note that one thing can be said with total certainty. There's a mountain of metal, toxic metals falling on us, that was not there 5 years ago. It's there today. It's not coming from China. And it matches the patents exactly. And that is a statement of total certainty. That metal is absolutely positively there and is verified from very qualified scientific sources, period.
Like Mount Shasta, there's no way it could have gotten up there but from the sky.
That's right. This is not natural occurring. And I want to say one quick thing here. They're talking about this aluminum and barium and strontium and everything. I want you to look at something here. Genetically modified seed patent. Aluminum resistant gene patent. Number 7582809, granted on September 1st, 2009, and it was based on the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Brazilian Enterprises for Agricultural Research. Why are they coming up with seeds that are resistant to aluminum unless something is happening?
Well, that's interesting, and if I could speak on that, we filmed, we actually spent a week in Hawaii on an organic farm, and it was just a beautiful place to live. For the first time in my life, I had been removed from corporatism.
That must have been nice.
Oh, it was beautiful, and we're dependent on this organic farm of the trees for our food. So we literally went out in the morning and in the afternoon and picked our food and ate off the land.
Wow.
And it was just an incredible place to live. Of course, we went to investigate the issue of geoengineering. Mm-hmm. They're seeing a decline in the yield of what they're getting there. And we walked with one of the residents, and he showed us a weakening of the coconut trees. So they are seeing profound changes, and this is just in the past 8 to 10 years. And one of the concerns is that if the programs continue, that this could be, and you had mentioned the aluminum-resistant seeds, many people believe, including myself, that this might be an agenda by the GMO seed manufacturers to destroy the soil so that nothing will be able to grow except for this aluminum-resistant GMO seed in this new environment what we have. So it's deeply concerning that this might be an attempt to monopolize the entire food chain in the world.
Then you look at those food bills, the S-510 bill that's going to take away the right to grow your own food.
Food modifications,
so
safety.
So then they're doing everything at once.
People, you better look at that. Okay, Brenda, we're going to have to get on now with if there's another caller, but we only got 3 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say something out here. I see this is really happening. I have children, grandchildren. As soon as I seen this DVD, this video that they have put out, that Michael Murphy here has put out himself, I was amazed. The first thing I did was I went out and got some pH testing kits, and I went out and tested my water, my soil, everything else that I could, just with the pH test. And you know what I found? They're right. The pH in my soil is getting more neutral when it should be acidic. You know, when you have oak trees, you have pine trees, you have all this stuff. You know, we got mulch on our ground and everything that I tested when I first got there. And it tested, you know, acidic, as it was supposed to, in the 5-point-something range. Then we turned around and tested it this year, right after I seen it again. Our soils are almost neutral. That's amazing. And we're finding out that this is what the aluminum and other particulates are doing to our soil. And with that said, I want to, Nate, you have anything else you want
to say? I'd just like to thank you guys for coming in.
Definitely.
And make sure everybody out here comes to see your video on December 3rd at Sequoia Middle School. What time does it start at?
At Sequoia Middle School, 6 o'clock Friday evening. There'll be a long Q&A afterward, as long as anybody wants to stay and ask questions. And again, people can research this issue at geoengineeringwatch.org. That was a site put together by a lot of concerned people in Northern California. There's hard data there. Geoengineeringwatch.org.
Notice, ladies and gentlemen, you said hard data there. That means stuff that has been proven, it's factual, there's a scientific evidence and everything that's going on. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on here we really need to do. We want you to go out there and do your research and everything on what's going on. Get to their Sequoia Middle School on December 3rd. Listen to these gentlemen. Watch this documentary and ask as many questions as you want afterwards.
Yeah.
And with that said,
at least see what they have to say. Don't just take one side and then just take it as truth. You always, like Brenda was saying, you have to Do your research. Evidence and then make your decision.
But again, whatever position a person wants to take, there is a simple fact that there is a mountain of toxic metal falling on us, period, end of story. Whatever a person wants to speculate as to its origin, it's there, it wasn't there before, and it's doing horrific damage, period.
It's not the bottom of a ski, right?
Okay. Well, this is William White Crow with Sovereign Minds Radio. Like I said, we want to thank our guests here. We want to thank our producer, Chandler, and everybody that's called in, Nate here and myself. Next week's show is going to be on education, what's happening. We're going to have a teacher here. We're going to have a parent here. And we're going to really get into this thing that's going on. So this is William White Crow with Sovereign Minds Radio at KCNR 1460 AM. And like we said, anytime you want to call in, it's 605-4567 on any show, home of Free Fire Media.
We are building up the new world. Do not sit idly by. Do not remain neutral. Do not rely on this broadcast alone. We are only as strong as our signal. There is a war going on for your mind. If you are thinking, you are winning. Resistance is victory. Defeat is impossible. Your weapons are already in hand. Reach within you and find the means by which to gain your freedom. Fight with tools. Your fate and that of everyone you know depends on it.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta, Redding.